The transcendental goddess Srimati Radharani is the direct counterpart of Lord Sri Krishna. She is the central figure for all the goddesses of fortune. She possesses all the attractiveness to attract the all-attractive Krishna. She is the primeval internal potency of the Lord. Srimati Radharani has many names according to her qualities and characteristics. Some of the names that Radharani is known by include Govinda Nandini, she who gives pleasure to Govinda, Govinda Mohini, she who mystifies Govinda, Govinda Sarvasa, the all-in-all of Lord Govinda, Sarvakanta, the crown jewel of all the Lord's consorts, and Krishna Mayi, the one who sees Krishna both within and without. She is also called Radhika in the Puranas because her worship of the Lord consists of filling his desires. Aradhana is the root of the name Radharani, which indicates one who excels in worshiping the Lord. She is also called Sarva Lakshmi, the original source of the goddesses of fortune. This also means that she is the supreme energy of the Lord and represents his six opulences, which include fame, strength, fortune, wealth, knowledge, and detachment. She is also known as Sarvakanti, which indicates that all beauty and luster rest in her body, and all Lakshmis derive their beauty from her. It also means that all the desires of Lord Krishna rest in Srimati Radharani. As Lord Krishna enchants the world with his beauty and charm, so Srimati Radharani enchants him. She is the supreme goddess. Sri Radha is the full power, and the Lord and Krishna is the possessor of full power. Thus, the two are non-different. As the sunshine is non-different from the sun, or as the energy is non-different from the energetic of, or source of energy. Srimati Radharani appeared exactly 2 weeks after the appearance of Sri Krishna on the 8th day of the waxing moon of Bhadramas at noon. Opposites attract. Krishna appeared at midnight. She was found on a lotus flower by Vrishabhanu and his wife Kirtida near the village of Barshana, a few miles away from Nandagram. It is said that Srimati Radharani first opened her eyes only when Sri Krishna appeared before her Until that time, her eyes remain closed. Kaviraj Goswami says in the Govinda Lilamrita, Radhika was never initiated, nor did she study or hear from any Siksha Guru. But still, she became the teacher of the arts to all the Vrajagopis, who astonish all the ladies of the three worlds with their skills, and who give the highest satisfaction to the ocean of all the arts. Srimati Radharani wears a dress made of her youthful, bluish modesty, woven with sham-colored threads, and also red due to her extreme attachment for the company of Krishna. She is outwardly very clever and contradictory, but at heart is very submissive. Has a complexion like a yellow champaka flower and lightning. Her lips are reddish due to her deep attraction for Krishna. Her personal beauty is compared to kumkum, and her friendship with her associates is compared to sandalwood pulp. The sweetness of her calm sobriety is compared to camphor. These three ingredients decorate the body of Srimati Radharani: kumkum, sandalwood pulp, and camphor. Srimati Radharani is the eternal consort of Lord Sri Krishna and the embodiment of his Ladini Shakti. She is known as Mahabhav Svarupini, the personification of the highest ecstasy of divine love. She is the internal pleasure potency of the Lord, the incarnation of love, the queen of Vrindavan and the crest jewel of the gopis. The name Radharani means one who can serve, one who can worship, one who can give respect, who really loves Krishna, who can render loving service. No one is more dear to Srimati Radharani than to Krishna than Srimati Radharani. No one is more dear to Krishna than Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani is not inferior to Sri Krishna in any way. It is Krishna himself who enjoys himself in two separate forms, as the enjoyer and the enjoyed. Krishna's beauty is so stunning that he himself becomes enchanted by his own beauty. But if the beauty of Srimati Radharani was not greater than that of Krishna, she could not enchant him. Who can enchant the whole universe? That is why she is called Bhuvan Mohan Mohini. She is the effulgence of Krishna, who is like the full moon. Sri Krishna is the sum total of all ecstasy, all beauty. He is the original reservoir of all wealth, prowess, and knowledge. So the greatness of Radharani is beyond the limit of human knowledge, even beyond the limit of understanding of many liberated souls. When Srimati Radharani first saw Krishna, she suddenly became conscious of all transcendental happinesses, and the functions of her different limbs were stunned. When Lalita, her constant companion, whispered into her ear the holy name of Krishna, Radharani immediately opened her eyes wide. This is an instance of alertness caused by hearing the sound of Krishna's name. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu says, one day in a joking mood, Krishna informed Radharani, My dear Radharani, I'm going to give up your company. Upon saying this, he immediately disappeared. And because of this, Srimati Radharani became so afflicted that the hue of her body changed. And she immediately fell down upon the ground of Vrindavan. She had practically stopped breathing. But when she smelled the flavor of the flowers of the ground, she awoke in ecstasy. And she got up. In describing Srimati Radharani, it is also said in the Vidukta Madhava 132 by Rupa Goswami, the beauty of Srimati Radharani's eyes forcibly devours the beauty of newly grown blue lotus flowers, and the beauty of her face surpasses that of an entire forest of fully blossomed lotuses. Her bodily luster seems to place even gold in a painful position. Thus the wonderful, unprecedented beauty of Srimati Radharani is awakening Vrindavan. Vidukta Madhava 520 says, although the effulgence of the moon is brightly initially at night, in the daytime it fades away. Similarly, although the lotus is beautiful during the daytime, at night it closes. But oh my friend, the face of my most dear Srimati Radharani is always bright and beautiful, both day and night. Therefore, to what can her face be compared? Vidukta Madhava 251 says, when Srimati Radharani smiles, waves of joy overtake her cheeks, and her arched eyebrows dance like the bow of Cupid. Her glance is so enchanting that it is like a dancing bumblebee moving unsteadily due to intoxication. The bee has bitten the whorl of my heart. There is much more to be known about Srimati Radharani, but this should suffice for now. Thus, the spiritual exchange of divine love between Radha and Krishna is the display of the internal energy of the Lord and is very confidential and difficult to understand. So materialists can begin to understand this topic of the relationship between Radharani and Lord Krishna. But the more we awaken our dormant love for God, which is the natural state of the living entity, the more we awaken, the more we dive into the process of Krishna consciousness, the more the pastimes of the divine couple will manifest before our eyes and manifest within our hearts. Thus is the glory of Srila Prabhupada's transcendental movement that he's given us, a means to directly associate with the divine couple through seva.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here. And I'm happy to see so many of you. Some of you traveled to come here. How many of you speak English, exclusively English? No, hardly. One or two. And how many Dutch plus so many other languages? Zoveel talen, Hollands om de anderen, yes? En Frans? En other languages? So anyhow, we are very multicultural, multi-language. I also have a little bit of multi-language, but my Dutch, ik ben geboren in Holland during the oorlog. It is such a long time ago that I remembered, of course. I left when I was 18. So just by associating with all of you, some of my language is coming back. So of course, we're not worried about whether we speak Dutch or English or Hindi for that matter, because actually, the topic of Krishna consciousness is perfect in any language. Sometimes you think that Sanskrit is the best language, and it is in many ways. Sanskrit, that means, you know, to be perfect or to be made perfect. But actually, the transcendental sound is available in every language, and I'm sure many of you can attest to it. I read Srila Prabhupada's books for the first time in English, and it was like a thunderbolt. You know the story from the Bible where Paul was on the road to Damascus and a thunderbolt came, and instead of being a hater of the Christians, he became a lover. So it was like that, a complete instant revolution in my mind. And that was, you know, the English language. So language is not, it doesn't say any, any medium is good for Krishna consciousness. So we'll sing a little. Just Hare Krishna. I was thinking this morning when everybody was dancing and doing some so nice arti and so on, I was thinking, because my mind of course goes back to olden days, I was thinking that the one of the biggest festivals in the Netherlands is that Koninginnedag, niet Koninginnedag. Heet het zo? So? De Koninginnedag. So I was thinking, you know, the Koningin means of course the queen, the feminine of the king, like Rani. So I was thinking, actually, vandaag is de echte Koninginnedag. Yes, because we are glorifying the queen of Vrindavan, Radheshwari. So this is the echte Koninginnedag. So we can celebrate in that mood. And then another thought I was having, and I quickly wrote it down before it popped out of my mind, is... Psychologists say that we have every day approximately 28,000 thoughts. That's a lot of thoughts, isn't it? Approximately every day 28,000. So I wrote a small poem, and it says, it's in English, of course, it says, 28,000 thoughts a day. And the best of that one, beginning with Hare! So that is the best thought that begins with Hare. So why Hare? Because Hare comes, as you know, from the name Hara. And Prabhupada explains it as Mother Hara. So when the child calls for the mother is very affectionate. Generally, the mother is more affectionate than the father. So the child is calling the mother, the feminine energy. So, of course, in the Sanskrit, when we discuss Mother Hara, and we're calling her, we say Hare. Just like if somebody calls Srimati Radhika, they say Srimati Radhike. And sometimes even my friends say, hey, Radhike. When they're mocking me, they also say Radhike. So Hare, that is you're invoking the feminine energy of Krishna. So it is Radha Krishna. So you can say Radha, in a sense, modifies Krishna. You can also explain that they're dual, they're on the same level, and they are, in a sense. But what kind of Krishna? Radha Krishna. So that adjective, if you use it as an adjective, that completely modifies Krishna. So Radha tells everything about Krishna. So we go through Srimati Radharani. That is, we heard that also in Parthasarathy's, in his notes, he gave some notes. So some tattva was there, some description. So I just want to sing a little, this little dance tune, this Hare Krishna dance tune. I heard it first in Vrindavan, and I'm off to Vrindavan very first thing tomorrow morning, and Radhakund and Varshana. So I hope you wish me all luck in my travels. So. That's a well-known melody. So, Heidi. Should I have this thing? Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare Hare Bolo.
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Bolo. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Bolo. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Bolo.
Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare Bolo. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare Bolo. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Bolo. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Bolo. So what I'm thinking to do today is to read one of the songs, or to maybe partly sing it. And it is a very nice song about Srimati Radharani. Sri Radha Kripa Kataksha Stava Raja. Many of you probably know it. And it's very nice because it begins with the description of Srimati Radharani starting at the top. Usually when we see the deity, we start to view the deity from the feet up. That is regular. When we see the Lord, we see from the feet, and then, like Prabhupada explains, to the calves, and then to the thigh, and then to the waist, to the chest, and to the face, and the beautiful eyes. But this description is going the other way around. And I was thinking this is actually quite appropriate, because it appears that Srimati Radharani at this time is not showing us her lotus feet. And I understand she is showing us it to us this evening, so we can go this way and then we wait till her lotus feet appear later in the evening. So originally I was thinking to sing this song, but it looks like my voice is hardly there, so I will try to sing a few, and then I've given a translation of this. This is not the prose translation that you see if you check on the computer or you look in somebody's songbook, but it is a lyrical translation that is a little bit shorter and a bit more poetic. So I hope that you will, in these lines, be able to see the features of Srimati Radharani, because how do we see? Prabhupada says we are seeing through which organ? The ear. So we see through the ear. So this is not very easy because the eyes are very adamant to align with the form. And this is natural because out of the fire the eyes are coming. The form is coming. So the first thing that we might hear something, then we might touch something, then we see something. So this organ of sight is very powerful. But it actually has to play second role to the ear, which is much more difficult. So we're trying to see to the ear and develop a higher level of hearing. I don't want to give a long talk here, but the other day I mentioned just briefly that there's different levels of hearing. Physical hearing, you can say vaikari, mental hearing, madhyam, and intellectual hearing, pasanti, which means to see, and then paravak or paravach, which means transcendental hearing. So at the first, the ordinary level of hearing, the object is one and the observer is someone else. So there may be objects and there may be one who is observing, but there's a disconnection. Or there's the name and there's the one named, Sri Krishna or Srimati Radharani, but they're not one at this level. But at the higher level of hearing, they are one. Prabhupada explained that Nam and Nami are actually one on that level. And that is the level to which we wish to ascend. Because that is the level, if we are at that level, we are immediately in the spiritual world. And this can happen while we're sitting here. It's not like we have to wait till we die and then maybe hopefully we go somewhere. We have to fix our problem before we leave our body. Doesn't that make sense? Because after we leave our body, then we have to try again unless we are perfect. So this song is very beautiful. And let me see if I can sing it. My problem is that in Radhakund, I do a lot of manavrat and I might not speak for weeks except saying thank you or take this or go here or there. And I never speak to anybody. And here, since I've been here for about 2 weeks, I've been doing nothing but speaking because so many of you are here and so many languages. And I've had such a wonderful welcome from all of you. So, it's right. So my voice is not very good. But I'll try to sing the first few lines and see how it goes. Otherwise, I'll read it. Is that all right with you? Unless somebody... No, I'm going to sing the Sanskrit. I would never sing... The English is read. It's right here. No, but you'd know. The English, I'm reading to you. So it's the Sanskrit that is the shabd. So it goes like this. Moon... Munindra Vrindavandite Triloka Shokaharine Prasanna Vaktra Pankaje Nikunja Bhuvilasini. Can anybody sing the next line for me? Does anybody know it? Okay, then I'll read it. The next line goes Brijendra Bhanu Nandini Brijendra Suna Sangate. And then the refrain comes, which I hope we can all sing together. Kada karisha siyemam kripa kataksha bhajanam. Sing it again. Kada karisha siyemam kripa kataksha bhajanam. So it's always good to know what you're singing, and most of you probably understand what is said here. Kada means, anybody knows what kada? It means when. When or when will your mercy shine? Kada is, I'm waiting. So kada, karisha means, kar means to do, karisha means in the future. When will you do this? When will you do this for me? Upon me, mom, you will give the kripa and kataksha. What does aksha mean? Eyes. And kataksha? That means... No, it means the corner. This is the corner. The corner of the eye. And bhajanam. When or when will you bestow your merciful glance upon me, O Srimati Radharani? So that is the question. Kada karisha ihe mam kripa kataksha bhajanam. Please read it. Kada karisha ihe mam kripa kataksha bhajanam. So ma means me in the accusative. So when is this coming to me? When is it coming? I want to be the recipient. So this verse is very special because you're addressing Srimati Rani directly. So it is like I, myself, and you. This is not her. In this song, she is addressed as you, second person. When I talk to you, it's very intimate, isn't it? Just me and you, right? Me and you. And there's others. The others, or he or she, that's the third party, isn't it? But me and you, we speak something secretly. So, but the other, this is the third party, they are a little bit removed. So in the Sanskrit, this is not like this. It is the what we call the first person, I, is the third person. And what we call he or she or it is the first person. Isn't that nice? So whenever you talk about Krishna, that's the first person. When you and I are talking, you are the second person. So we're addressing Radha in the second person, very intimately. Only the last verse, we're talking about her. So this is an interesting feature. So you can see there's a progression then. First we're talking to her, oh Radha. You can say, my voice is in the vocative. I'm asking something from her. So the first verse, is the translation is like this. O Radhe, you are praised by the Munis. You remove the pain of material strife. Does not your face bloom in tune with the lotus? Do you not play in the bowers of Braj? O Vrishabhanu Nandini, O beloved of the sun of the king of Braj, when will your sidelong glance fall upon this fallen one? So we're begging for her favor. Then the next verse. Ashoka Vriksha Valari Vitana Manda Pastite Pravala Vala Palava Prabharu Angri Komala Varabhaya Spuratkare Prabhuta Sampadalaye Kadakarisha Iyemam Kripa Kataksha Bhajanam Kadakarisha Iyemam Kripa Kataksha Bhajanam. So we are collectively begging for Radha's mercy. O Radhe, you live in a house of fragrant long reeds spread over the boughs of the Ashok tree's tattered kunja. Your feet radiate a reddish glow, resembling fresh rosebuds and rouge creepers. Do not fear, you say, extending your hand in mudras divine, thereby revealing your right-hand lotus palm. O beloved of the king of Braj, when will your sidelong glance fall upon this fallen one? Ananga ranga mangala prasanga bangura bruvam savibramam sasambramam drikanta banapatana nirantaram vasikrita pratita nandanandana kadakarisha iyemam Kripa kataksha bhajanam kadakarisha iyemam Kripa kataksha bhajanam. Resembling the bow of arrows Cupid, your eyebrows arch. From the corners of your eye you toss love's arrows. Just see, struck by those shafts, your Shyam Sundar collapses at the feet of his mistress Sri Radharani. O daughter of dear Vrishabhanu Maharaj, when will your sidelong glance grace this most lonely one? Tadit suvarna champaka pradipta gora vigraha muka prabha parastakoti sharandendu mandala Vichitra chitra chansaraj chakura shavalochana kadakarisha iyemam vipakataksha bhajanam kadakarisha siyemam kena kadaksha bhajanam. O Radhe dear, O Radhe, like lightning shaft, like thunderclaps, like champak blooms, the sky lands up by your glance. Does not your moon-like face eclipse the beauty of a million chandras? Do not your eyes, like the famed Chakora bird, dart to and fro to those within your range who dote upon your glance? O Radhe, mistress of my heart, when will your sidelong eye fall upon this disheartened one? So we are at 5. Madon madati yauvane pramodamana mandite priyanuragaranjite kalavilasa pandite ananya tanya kunja raja kama keli kovide kadakarisha siyema kripa kataksha bhajanam
Dadishati Ema Dakadakamadama.
So this is the meaning, the art. Borade dear, do you not now appear like a love-maddened maiden? Are you not mad with love, unmada, with love-inspired jealousy, piquate, adroit, fain, moistened, ras of man? O Rade, mistress of my heart, when will your sidelong eye fall upon this disheartened one? Ashesha hava bava dira hira hara bushite prabhuta shata kumba kumba kumbi kumba sustani prasasta mandaha shachurna purna saukya sagare kadakarisha iema Kripa kataksha bhajanam kada. O Radharani of my heart, you wear a necklace of feminine charms spun from amorous motions and mass. Ecstatic love heightens your breast, O Kumbhivali. Are those globes, water pots, are they not gold? Or indeed jugs of divine wine, or indeed resembling mounts on young, intoxicated elephants? And what do I see? Is it not the pollen of land lotus dust decorating that fine golden line of your enchantment smile? O Radharani of many arts, when will you glance towards my heart? Mrinala vala valeri taranga ranga dorlate latagra lasya lola nila lochana valokane lala lulan milan manoja mugda moana shrite. O Rade, swinging in the particles of your wind's pastimes, your arms, like golden creepers of the lotus plant, cause waves to move in the waters of amorous lila. Your sesame pale nose, like the tip of an agitated thin plant, moves restlessly in the wake of your glittering smile. O Mohini Rani, just see how you enchant Mohan. O Rade, mistress of my heart's desire, when will your glance grace this forsaken one? Suvarna malikanchita trireka kambukantage tritamangali guna triratna dipti didite salola nila kuntala prasuna gucha gumpite kadakarisha kripa kataksha bhajana
kadakarisha sirama kripa kataksha bhajana.
Just see your neck, like a three-tiered conch shell incisement, your necklace of gold, your emerald and pearls, inlaid with blooms of the champa, grace your twin mounds. Your twin braids, like dark rivers, bound with jasmine and other assorted bucolics, dangling down. O Rade, dearest of my Swamini Gana, when will you bestow upon me that sidelong glance of thine eyes? Nitamba bimba lambana pushpameka lagune prasasta ratna kinkini kalapamaja manjuli karendra sunta dandika varo asao bagorake. O you, Radhe, mistress of mine, I now see. Even your girdle is braided with blooms of the champak, inclusive of vine. Your waist bears a belt of small kinkini bells made of chintamani dwani. Looking down, tapering from your torso, your legs resemble the divine trunks of mad baby elephants. When, oh, when will the day be mine when you bestow that sidelong glance upon this lonely one? Aneka mantra nada manju nupurara vaskalat samaja raja hamsa vamsa nikvanati gaurave vilola hema valeri vidam bicharu chankrame. So what are the kinkini bells on Sri Radha's girdle? What does this kinkini mean? It makes little sounds. Who's saying? Yes, it makes, yeah, kinkini means little sounds. Also, some of Krishna's cows are called kinkini. Little bells. Very nice name. Say kinkini. Now you'll always remember when you hear little ankle bells, whether they're on some beautiful gopi or a cow or Radha's belt, this is kinkini. And I'm saying they sound like Chintamani Dwani. Dwani, of course, means sound, and Chintamani means heavenly. So, it is a fact. Your ankle bells sound, your ankle bells jingle with the sound of heavenly mantras, resembling groups of royal swans singing Jaya Dwani. Every movement of your divine form puts to shame all formerly thought beautiful formed forms now thought formless. O golden creeper of movement's delight, when will your glance fall upon this one formed of hopelessness? This hopeless one, that's probably what it says. Ananta koti Vishnu lokanamra padma jachite imadri japulomaja Virinshi javara prade aparasiti ridi dikdasat padangulinake. So what is the meaning of Anantakoti Vishnu Loka? Ananta meaning? And Koti? Millions and trillions. Ananta, Anantakoti, what does it say again? Oh, I lost my text here, 1 second. Anantakoti Vishnu Loka. So there's millions of these Vishnu planets. So it says in the translation, yes, all the Brahmas lord you in a Vishnu thousand worlds. You bestow benediction on Parvati. Whose wife is she? Puloma? Agni. And Sachi. Well, you do not neglect even Saraswati, the wife of Brahma. Just now I perceive the nails of your toes, their luster blinding, glows with the mystic rules of perfections and opulence. When, oh when, my dear daughter of Vishabani, will you make me the recipient of your special glance? Makeshwari Krijeshwari Swadeshwari Sureshwari Triveda Bharatishwari Pramana Shashaneshwari Rameshwari Kshameshwari Pramoda Kananishwari. Ek bar. So these are all names of Radha. This is Maheshwari, Kriyeshwari, Shvadeshwari, Sureshwari, Bareshishwari, Sashan Eshwari, you're the leader of all the moons. So it says, O divine goddess, my Radharani, you are the leader of all Jagya, the mistress of all work, and the Swamini of Raganuga Bhakti. You lead the devis and devatas. You are the foremost knowledge of the three Vedas. O mistress of the goddess Lakshmi, benefactor of the sin-forgiving ones. O Ishwari Radhe, leader of the Kunja Jutagana. Only your stamp of love allows entrance into the pleasure groves of Vrindavan. I fall in the dust of your shadows, Mount Karunamayi. So Radha is the most merciful. She never pushes herself forward to Krishna. She always pushes everybody else forward. And that is her specialty. That is why when we approach Radha, we don't have to worry that Radha's going to go ahead. And she's Radha. No, she always pushes even small ones towards Krishna. So 13, so this is the last verse. And as I was saying, this is no longer addressed to Srimati Radharani. 12 verses addressed to her, and the 13th is, you can say, to the audience. So this is to the audience. I will sing it. It gives instruction. As you know, many of the verses are summed up with an instruction. There may be Ashta, 8 verses, and then one instruction comes at the end. So there'll be 9. So this is the 13th, and this is lucky 13. Does anybody know 13 is lucky? According to Vedic mathematics. You can look it up. Very lucky. Iti iti mama bhutam stavam nisham yabanu nandini karotu santatam janam kripa kataksha bhajanam bhaveta daiva santa Trirupa karma nashanam bhavetata brajendra sunu mandale praveshanam. So this last verse is directed to the other, to my audience, I confess. May Princess Vrishabhanu Nandini, upon hearing this prayer of the flowered heart, bestow her sidelong glance upon this speaker of heart's lonely wants. Is it not a fact? Now karma is cut, present karma abolished, and the karma of future times unable to pass. At this flower-crowned time, may all of us enter the bower of wine at Rasa, at Radha Rasabihari's golden rag, fabulous pastime. Yes, chant this prayer on Ekadashi, on the day of the full moon at all. Stand neck-deep in the waters of Radhakund and chant this prayer 100 times. All desires fulfilled, Purna Kama. Complete release in Radha Krishna's pastimes. Yes, you will see her with these self-same eyes, and Sri Radha will pledge with hers of exactly the same kind. And what will be your reward in addition to your glorious meeting with Queen Ishwari? Her own beloved Shamsundar you will see with these self-same prem-filled glances. Now we may enter into the eternal Nitya Lila of Krishna Braj Dham. Who can deny that destination? Our heart's designation ends there and begins at the feet of Sri Sri Radha Giriraj Seva. O Radhe, when, oh when will your mercy shine? So this is a prayer for Radha's mercy. So we're also praying for all the mercy of the devotees, so we can help each other to achieve that very high goal of Goloka Vrindavan. Radhe Shyam! Jai Shri Radhe Ki Jai! All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
I'm sorry to be bring everybody back to earth now.
I'll try to make my little offering to the Vaishnavas and to Srimati Radharani. What I'd like to do today is, first of all, offer my obeisances to Prabhupada and the devotees. Om Gyana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshur Unmlitam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. I was born in the darkest of ignorance, and my spiritual master is forcing open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him. Panchakalpa tarubhyascha kripasindubhyevacha patitanam pavanepyo vaishnavepyo namo namaha jai shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhara shivashadi gaur bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Well, I'd like to speak a little bit about the nature of the gopis' love for Krishna, as I've been able to assimilate it. This is based on something that I also wrote for an essay for the college. And then we'll go into glorifying Srimati Radharani. And then we'll come back to seeing how the glories of Radha and the gopis, how they talk about what we should do while we're in this material world. So first of all, about the love of the gopis. It is, strictly speaking, not possible to love any material object. Because simply by viewing an object as material, affection directed toward it is necessarily material. So if we don't see the relationship between objects of love and Krishna, we are forced to have a material viewpoint. Only when affection is directed to God can it manifest its original pure status of causeless, selfless love, and thus be termed prema. Therefore, lust, this is a quote, and love are quite different. Lust is like dense darkness, but love is like the bright sun. In this light, one can perceive all other substances as the energies of the Lord, to be interacted with in a manner pleasing to Him. Of those who are able to express such pure love for Krishna, the gopis are considered most consummate. Although their relationship is of a paramour nature, it is paradoxically spotlessly pure, like a clean cloth that has no stain. Citing Padma Purana, Brahma Samhita, Gautamiya Tantra, Brihad Vamana, and Ujjvala Nilamani, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur ascertains that the gopis' attraction for Krishna, far from being mundane, even in its initial stage, was the full blossoming of divine sentiment. Moreover, the original roots of that sentiment were set down long before the gopis attained their gopi forms. Rather, their birth as gopis was the fulfillment of a long-cherished aspiration to associate with Krishna in the all-consuming intimacy of paramour affection. The only exception to this were those gopis eternally associated with Krishna, who descended with him from his eternal abode. A general categorization of all these gopis is cited by Vishwanatha Chakravarti from Padma Purana. It is understood that some of the gopis are personified Vedic literatures, while others are reborn sages, daughters of cowherds, or demigod maidens. But by no means, my dear king, are any of them ordinary humans. This is just for us to meditate on the exalted nature of the gopis. From this standpoint, it would seem that intimate association with Krishna is not possible for those afflicted by ordinary sexual drives. For that matter, according to Bhagavad Purana, intimate association with Krishna in any capacity is the cumulative outcome of life after life of pious activities, krita punya punya. Therefore, although the gopi's attraction for Krishna may be termed kama or lust, it is actually beyond the purview of mundane sexuality. The gopi's attraction for Krishna, even in its so-called initial stages, was experienced on a highly advanced level of spiritual realization. The spiraling of that attraction in association with Krishna was not simply a matter of the gopis being promoted above the influence of mundane lust. It was a dynamic intensification of divine love that knew no bounds. Their love was never associated with the modes of material nature. So this is something that was part of my thesis that I wrote for the college. So now we will. This is to establish that the love of the gopis is so pure. And of course, Srimati Radharani is the source of all the gopis. And then we can think a little bit about Srimati Radharani's glories. This is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The transcendental goddess Srimati Radharani is the direct counterpart of Lord Sri Krishna. She is the central figure for all the goddesses of fortune. She possesses all the attractiveness to attract the all-attractive personality of Godhead. She is the primeval internal potency of the Lord. Devi means resplendent and most beautiful, or else it means the lovely abode of the worship and love sports of Lord Krishna, we've just been hearing about just now. Krishna Mayi means one whose within and without are Lord Krishna. She embodies the mellows of love. The energy of Lord Krishna is identical with him. Her worship, Aradhana, consists of fulfilling the desires of Lord Krishna. Therefore, the Puranas call her Radhika. Truly, this is what the gopis said when Krishna left the Rasa dance with Radharani. Truly, the personality of God has been worshipped by her. Therefore, Lord Govinda, being pleased, has brought her to a lonely spot, leaving all of us behind. Therefore, Radha is Parama Devata, the supreme goddess, and she is worshipable for everyone. She is the protectress of all, and she is the mother of the entire universe. When we first joined the movement, we would meet people from India. And not all of the people from India are cultured. And they would say, oh, you like Krishna? Lusty boy Krishna? Maybe you like me too? And very fortunately for us, we got to know that Krishna and Radha were above this mundane analysis. And of course, then we would feel quite confident to chastise these people. I even called one a rascal one time, and he called the police. Because I called him a rascal. Because in India, if you call someone a rascal, it's really an insult. And so, the policeman was completely bewildered. You're calling me because she called you a rascal. Anyways, I feel it's necessary to glorify Radharani and Krishna in this way because we've had plenty of experience with people who really don't know who they are, even when they come from the holy dham. I have already explained the meaning of Sarva Lakshmi. Radha is the original source of all goddesses of fortune. Or Sarva Lakshmi indicates that she fully represents the six opulences of Krishna. She is the supreme energy of Lord Krishna. The word Sarva Kanti indicates that all beauty and luster rest in her body. All the Lakshmis derive their beauty from her. One time I got the opportunity to address Srimati Radharani. I was thinking that all the beautiful women in the world are trying to compete with Srimati Radharani, but they don't have a chance. not a chance. She is so beautiful. Kanti also means all the desires of Lord Krishna, All the desires of Krishna rest in Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radhika fulfills all the desires of Lord Krishna. This is the meaning of Sarvakanti. Lord Krishna enchants the world, but Sri Radha enchants even him. Therefore, she is the supreme goddess of all. Sri Radha is the full power, and Lord Krishna is the... Sri Radha is the full power and Lord Krishna is the possessor of full power. The two are not different, as evidenced by the revealed scriptures. Actually, I mentioned this before, that when I talk to my brother about God, and I call God, he, she goes, or she. I go, yes, or she, then no problem. Yes, we can. You can say God is she, because we hear that Radha and Krishna are one and the same. They are indeed the same, just as musk and its scent are inseparable, or as fire and its heat are non-different. Thus Radha and Lord Krishna are one, yet they have taken two forms to enjoy the mellows of pastimes. So this is the wonderful theology that gives us an insight into the ultimate nature of the Lord, so that we who are entrapped by all kinds of mundane misconceptions, and Prabhupada often repeats that the topmost misconception in this world is the idea that we can make each other complete in sex life. But the complete perfection is already there, and we're being invited to participate in it. And luckily not as an enjoyer, because how much can one little tiny soul enjoy? We are so limited. But if we participate in this wonderful absolute reality as servants, then our capacity to enjoy expands and expands and expands in such a way that we realize that this world has nothing to offer us. There's nothing going on here, especially when we have to even try to compare it to what's going on in the spiritual world. Of course, we do have to carry on in this world for some time, and this time must be used to try to purify ourselves from all these misconceptions by immersing ourselves in the teachings of Srila Prabhupada and glorifying the Lord and his eternal consort. So as far as the main duty that we can do to purify ourselves, the gopis have this to say. I'm sure you're all familiar with this poem. Tavakatam ritam tapta jivanam kavipiriditam kaumasapaham shravanamangalam srimadatatam puvikvinantiye puridajana. The gopis had this to say to Krishna. The nectar of your words and the descriptions of your activities are the life and soul of those suffering in this material world. These narrations, transmitted by learned sages, eradicate one's sinful reactions and bestow good fortune upon whoever hears them. These narrations are broadcast all over the world and are filled with spiritual power. Certainly, those who spread the message of Godhead are most munificent. So imagine, this is what the gopis are saying. The gopis who are the most munificent, the most pure, they say that those who spread the message of Godhead are the most munificent. So in the beginning of the movement, when book distribution really started to take off, Ramaswar, at that time he was a brahmachari, he was promoting this idea that book distribution was in the mode of the gopis. And devotees, it became a big controversy, and the devotees saying he's a sahajiya and this and that and the other thing. And so the attention was brought to Srila Prabhupada, the attention of this controversy was being brought to Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, yes, Ramaswar has understood correctly. Shara Gopinath Ki Jai. That if we preach the glories of the Lord, then we will be in the mood of the gopis, because the gopis, they're not only deeply and irrevocably in love with the Lord, but they are deeply concerned about us here in this world, because anyone who's experiencing such intense love for Krishna can only mourn for those who don't. So they feel themselves indebted to persons who are preaching glories of the Lord. So let's just take this reminder from this very lofty realm that we've gotten a little bit of exposure to today by the grace of the exalted Vaishnavas who came before me, and try to internalize that there is a very definite method by which we can get the mercy of the Lord's most intimate associates, and that is by practicing and preaching, strongly practicing and preaching the teachings of their existence that has come to us by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and the Parampara. So thank you very much for listening patiently. I believe that the next program is going to happen in the cow stable, right? There's going to be an Abhishek. Is that right? Okay, so there will be a parikram to the Bhaktivedanta College, and then from there to the cow stable, if I understand correctly? Okay, so everybody's invited to join that parikram. Jai Shri Shri Radhe Shyam! Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath!